Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Jesse Green here at the control panels as always. And today I really wanted to have a conversation with you about a topic that I think is really overlooked in running a dental practice, and that is identifying and managing risk. So in today's conversation, we're going to be giving you some structure around that. But equally, beyond risk, I wanted to talk about how to manage those events which kind of come out of left field, which even with the best thinking, the best preparation, they occur from time to time, and how to deal with those should that eventuality arise in your particular practice. So when it comes to risk, the frame that I often look at risk about is when I'm trying to create value in a business, one of the things that we look at in terms of value is earnings and multiples. If you want to create value in the business, you either want to increase the earnings or increase the multiple. And one of the key ways of improving the multiple of any business is to really give risk a very close examination. Because if you can de-risk a business, it means ultimately it's more valuable. And for instance, if you go to sell your practice, the risk for any incoming owner is, can they replicate the results? So there's all sorts of different kinds of risk. We'll touch on a couple in this conversation. But as I said, I really wanted to give you a framework and some thinking around risk so that as you go about your own practice life, you can take the time to examine risks in your business. And I really think it's a worthwhile activity to do at least twice a year and probably even more frequently than that, but certainly at least twice a year, because the environment in which we operate continues to change, continues to evolve. And ultimately, if that changes, then we just need to be conscious of that as well. So when it comes to risk, there's a couple of things that I would talk about. So the first thing is when you're looking at risks in your existing business, it's the question I ask myself is, what don't I see? Because what don't I see could be assumptions I'm making, it could be values that I hold dear, it could be unchallenged thought processes or anything like that. But it's really a process of trying to uncover the risks in our business. And there's plenty of different risks in our business. But for me to start the thinking process around that, I ask myself, what don't I see? And I'll make a list of the top five or six risks around that. Another really good question to ask yourself if you want to identify risk in your business is this question. And that is, if I wanted to compete with my own business, what would I do to trip myself up? In other words, if I was a competitor looking at my business and they had x-ray vision, they could see everything going on in my business, how would I approach that? How would I compete? Because when you ask yourself that question very quickly, very easily, you'll be able to see the ugly bits, the unattractive parts of the business, and that's where the risk will be. So I guess the first part of risk analysis and risk mitigation is to identify risks. So the two questions, what don't I see and how would I compete with myself if I was a competitor, are really designed to identify those risks. So once you've identified risk, of course, then we need to be able to quantify risks. And quantifying risks comes in different ways. And so I use a risk matrix to plot risks. And what I'm trying to determine is, what's the likelihood of that particular outcome? Is it a likely event or is it an unlikely event or somewhere in between? Equally, what's the cost of that risk? Should this particular event occur, what's it going to cost me? Is it a big cost or is it a little cost? And of course, cost can be monetary, but it can also be time, it can be reputation, it can be other things like that as well. So again, understanding that cost comes in lots of different forms, not just monetary. And then of course, what I need to then ask myself is, what degree of control do I have over this situation? Are there things I can control or manage to minimize that? So knowing those things, I will plot the risks on a risk matrix. And I've got a particular spreadsheet that I use for that. But the risk matrix I look at, really the things I plot in terms of risks that come up would be key person risk potentially, any accidents. You could be looking at debt or leverage risks. You could have risks around the tenure of your practice in terms of lease tenure and so on. You could have risks around competition, of course. You could have risks around fraudulent activity as an example. You could have regulatory risks as well. You know, what happens if the rules change around the way dentistry is practiced? So there's a heap of different risks there. And once you've identified them, as I said, it's about plotting them onto a risk matrix. So you can determine whether a risk is a severe risk, a major risk, a moderate risk, a minor risk, or an insignificant risk. And I think ultimately, once you've done all that, that will give you some clues as to where you need to focus your energy. And ultimately, as we go through some risk mitigation strategies, it's all about how do I reduce the cost of the risk? How do I reduce the likelihood of the risk? And then how do I find a way to exert more control over that particular scenario, or how do I manage it? So really, what I've taken you through there very briefly is risk mitigation and identification. So identify that risk and then plot them on a risk analysis matrix. And then ask yourselves, as I said earlier, how do I reduce the likelihood of the event occurring? How do I reduce the cost or the impact of it? How do I have more control over the situation? And then from there, what resources might I need to bring that to life? What's the ideal outcome I'm trying to achieve? And what's the time frame that I'm working to? So again, good risk analysis sort of thinking around that. Equally, when it comes to evaluating opportunities, I'm sure every person listening to this podcast has opportunities across their desk on a pretty frequent basis. And when you're evaluating opportunities, it's really important to be able to say, what's the upside? Because we get caught up with the blue sky of the possibilities, but equally we need to be able to look at the downside. And so the questions that, again, we really ask ourselves in our business as we're evaluating opportunities is, what's the upside? In other words, what's the potential? If it all goes well, what's it going to look like? Equally, what's the downside? What's the worst case scenario? And can I live with the downside? Because if I'm going to be losing sleep at night and lying awake fretting or worrying or whatever it is, then for me, that opportunity is just not worth the headache. So again, as you go through your own risk analysis, you'll have your own different thresholds and tolerances for certain things. But ultimately, we need to be able to find a way where you can look at the upside, look at the downside, and then figure out, can I live with the downside? And of course, looking at what the downside is involves identifying, categorizing the risks that we went through just a moment ago. So again, really good process to go through in your business on a regular basis. But even with the best laid plans, sometimes life can throw you a curveball. Sometimes there'll be something that happens in your business which, no matter how much risk analysis you do, this particular event just doesn't even crop up on your radar. And they're usually obscure. They're usually things that you wouldn't ever have thought of. And what I wanted to do was give you a couple of key lessons I've learned about dealing with something that cropped up left field in my own world. And so for those of you who may follow me on social media, particularly on my personal page, some of you may have noticed that I was recently dealing with someone who was harassing and trolling me online. And no matter what kind of risk analysis or mitigation plans I might have had in place, that hadn't crossed my radar. And so I had to learn pretty quickly what to do about that. So again, there's a couple of key lessons that I wanted to share with you that came out of that story. And again, it's one thing to identify the risk and mitigate it, but what happens when something unforeseen occurs, something that wasn't on your risk analysis? This particular thing is now on my risk analysis. But anyway, so a couple of things I learned in all of this is when these particular events occur, it usually is accompanied with emotional upset and upheaval. And so you can be feeling a little bit fearful, certainly a bit stressed. In extreme circumstances, you might even feel a bit panicked. And it's really easy for you to feel knocked off your course. Doesn't mean that you're weak in any way, it just means that you're human, because some of these things that occur from time to time really can be quite unsettling. So I guess one of the things I wanted to share with you firstly is to let you know that if you do go through that, it just means you're human. It means that these things happen from time to time. What I learned in all of this is that when my emotions are high, my intelligence tends to be low. So emotions and intelligence are often inversely proportional to one another in any given moment. And certainly when I was going through this particular event, it was quite emotional, it was quite stressful, and there was a tendency for me to want to react rather than to respond. And so it's really important that you can sometimes put some distance between yourself and the response or the reaction that you're going to make. So being careful not to take action too quickly, or not too slowly either, but not reacting in a hurried way, not firing from the hip and not being at the effect of other people. It's also really important if your emotions are high and the intelligence tends to be low, that you surround yourself with people who are less emotionally invested in that scenario, so their intelligence is high and they can be a sounding board for you. So again, a couple little things around that. A second thing that I added into this was, as much as I've said don't rush, I'm also saying you still need to deal with this. That's point number two. You do need to deal with this decisively. So again, if you don't have the capacity to do that, maybe it's outside your field of expertise. Maybe there's other things occurring that mean you don't have the capacity to do things. Then ultimately, enlisting the help of others is a really good thing to do. So sometimes that involves, you know, reaching out to people who you might be able to lean on in terms of having a favor, or maybe it's time to lean on your support network or so on, or indeed enlist the help of professionals if that's what you need to do. So in all of this, it's important to remain calm, which of course is easier said than done, but you know, look at the things you can control and what you can't control. And I think that reminds me of that wonderful prayer called the Serenity Prayer. So again, in all of this, it's really important to be practicing some self-care when you're a bit stressed and feeling emotionally frayed around the edges when these risky things or things do occur. Then it's important to, you know, make sure you're taking good care of yourself so that you can be your best and you can respond as best you possibly can in those circumstances. So things like maybe taking a few things off your plate, freeing up some headspace, maybe giving yourself a weekend away. Maybe it's a case of doing some exercise and really clearing the cobwebs out. Maybe it's a case of making sure you're getting adequate sleep and eating well so that you're in the best possible condition that you can be. But in any case, self-care, I think, is really important during those situations as well, because ultimately we're all humans and it's easy, as I said, to be knocked off course when something that you haven't thought about, planned for, comes along, a particular life event that can knock you off your course. So again, practice some self-care. And of course, when you do practice good self-care on an ongoing basis, you have far more in reserve should one of these situations ever occur again. So again, I think that's just a good thing to do in general, practicing self-care, making sure you've got your routines built out, making sure your time is spent doing the things that mean the most to you and matter most to you. And again, you know, making sure your day is structured in a way that really works for you. So whether it's the morning routine, the evening routine, whatever it happens to be, make sure you're taking good care of yourself. And finally, I think one of the things that I've learned in all this is to try and create a little log of lessons learned. So in all of these things, yeah, sometimes there's lessons and sometimes there's not. And in the scenario that I described for me, there's a couple little lessons there, things I might have done differently had I had the retrospectoscope on. But equally, I think the big lessons for me was really about making sure I understood various ways of engaging help when I needed it and who to turn to. So again, that'll be the lessons from my scenario, but in your scenario, you might learn different lessons as well. But I think it's important to keep a log of those lessons so that A, should similar situations ever arise again, you know what to do. And B, you might be able to share it with someone else who goes through something similar as well, which is really the whole purpose of this podcast. I wanted to share this so that if anyone else is going through an unexpected, unplanned, and difficult time, then hopefully this podcast is a useful resource for you to be able to get through it. All right, guys, I hope you've been able to take some notes on that. Again, risk analysis, risk identification, plotting those risks and quantifying those risks, and then of course risk mitigation is really key. Then of course having the capacity to then deal with unexpected, unforeseen events is also important as well. So again, I hope you find that useful and helpful. And for those people who are new to our podcast, please come along and find us at the Savvy Dentist Facebook group, drjessegreen.com/Facebook, and you'll find us in there where we've got tools and training and other bits and pieces. And we would love you to come and join us if you're a dentist and join the conversation. So until next week, have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you on the flip side. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.